Good day, Cyclone Nation, and welcome to this installment of the Channel Seed Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. I am Chris Williams, joined by Brent Bloom, as we welcome you to check out our good friends, Channel Seed, at Channel.com. Find a Channel Seedsman near you, proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and of course, the weekly Channel Seed Podcast. Brent Bloom, how are you doing today, my friend?
Okay. It's a little cloudy.
It's a little cloudy.
It's gonna rain all week.
It's gonna rain. It's good news. We got some racing coming up this week.
You've got a show.
Yeah, I got the Iowa Speedway race day show.
So what, for the uninformed racing fans like I am, this is the nationwide race, correct?
That's correct. This is like NASCAR's AAA, except I would say it's more of the AA, because you know in baseball the better prospects are actually in AA.
Right.
And
that's how they're.
Yeah, because AAA really kind of sucks. That's why I wish the Iowa Cubs were a AA almost.
Anymore, all the elite guys spent. If you're in AAA for more than a year, something has gone catastrophically wrong for you.
Mm-hmm. You're just basically there to end out your career, essentially.
Or just fill a gap.
Yeah, just fill a gap. Well, so NASCAR, I would say it's probably the AA, because this is like the guys who will probably be in Cup here in a year or two.
Now, are the big names going to be there? Because I know some of them race both, correct?
Correct. Joey Logano, he's the biggest name probably that's going to, like, we're not going to have Kyle Busch.
So no Kyle?
Yeah, it sucked. The way they set up the schedule, it's not the Iowa Speedway's fault. It's just you're kind of at the mercy of NASCAR.
Sure.
You know?
Now, as a very casual, actually, I'm not a fan. I'll be honest with everybody here. I'm not a fan of NASCAR.
That's okay.
Will we ever get the big boys?
I think eventually, maybe. It's a strong maybe. It's all political. It's just like anything in sports. I mean, if you're not basically like two big companies own all these racetracks, and if you're not owned by one of those companies, it makes it very hard to get on that schedule. So what you need to hope for, if that's what you want, is that the track gets bought up by one of those two companies eventually. We don't need to get in anymore.
I will wait for that, but you have a show, and you will be on the radio, and those legions of NASCAR nationwide fans, I'm sure, will tune you in.
That's an extremely sarcastic, backhanded comment.
Who is your co-host for this?
Steve Cabbage.
Oh, the Cabman.
You remember Cabbage from our KMA days? This Week in Racing, down there on 960?
If there's a guy to make you interested in auto racing besides yourself, it's Steve Cabbage.
He is like you with Iowa State Athletics, just an encyclopedia. He knows like the weirdest crap he can just throw out there,
and he's an entertaining guy.
Well,
I might tune that in. I'm really bored.
Not to pat our own back, I think we have a decent dynamic because he's an older guy,
right?
He's an old school, right? And I'm like, I'm not that way. I'm the put him in the wall type guy. And Cabbage is all about good, clean, hard racing, and I'm more the Monster Energy type guy.
You used to call races, correct, at the track?
This is correct. That actually started my broadcasting/journalism career at the Adams County Speedway.
Calling dirt track races.
At the age of 15.
Wow. Wish I had some of that audio.
I was very passionate about that.
Dude would love it.
Got jaded, too. I applied for a broadcasting internship with NASCAR my sophomore year of college. And I made it to, the final round. And I got snubbed. They gave it to some gal because NASCAR is big on diversity and gender equality because it's all white males, when you think of NASCAR. And apparently I had a little birdie down there who told me that this gal didn't even know any of the drivers or anything. It was just kind of really deflated me in my racing career.
I do like some of those pit reporters, though.
They're great.
Shannon Spake.
Yep.
Little
Chris Devoto, an Iowan.
Yep.
Native Iowan.
So I'm coming up with very small reasons to watch NASCAR, but there's about three of them.
You'll be watching golf.
That's a lot more entertaining.
We got a lot to talk about here on the Channel Seed podcast. We probably should just avoid the net. We spent 4 minutes there on NASCAR.
That's right. Let's get into it.
Yeah. Kick times. We got kick times released on Tuesday for the first four Iowa State football games this season. The one that really stands out to you, because you knew that Northern Iowa, Tulsa, Texas were all going to be night games. Iowa in Ames, 5 o'clock on the 14th of September. As I said earlier on the Miller and Brinson show, this must have been like if Anheuser-Busch is endorsing this, because Ames is just going to be a massive drunk fest that day. I like it, though. I like it, though.
Maybe the most drunk fest ever.
Yeah.
If you look at historically night games, the Texas came into town a couple years ago. That was electric atmosphere. And yes, I am correlating the drunk fest with electric atmosphere. I do think those go together.
I would agree.
And that's
That's
okay.
That's okay, but the problem with Iowa State is you've got all these yahoos
casuals
who aren't even going to the game.
They're just there to
clutter things up and do beer bongs and just get smashed.
The last Iowa State Iowa night game at Jack Trice was 1999, and both teams were terrible.
Okay.
Just terrible.
2002 was the last night game.
And that was in Iowa City.
The Seneca.
And that got
that was the Jack Whitford game.
That got out of control. It was that remains. Well, let me ask you, is that game better, 2002, or is 2011, the three overtime thriller at Jack Trice last time, a better game? I maintain it was a Seneca game just because my man, Senator Jack Whitford,
yeah,
made some plays.
Better game? You have to go with three overtimes.
I don't think so.
I mean, the 2002 game was phenomenal. I mean, it had some iconic moments in Iowa State history. But we're talking three overtimes here. High scoring, you know, the ball flying all over the field. The legend of Steel Jantz is born.
Steel Jantz.
I mean,
that's a tough call.
Well, but then you go back to 2002 and you look at the fact that Iowa had a banner year. You know, they would have been in the national title game, or arguably, depending on how the BCS would have played out, but they would have been playing for a national championship potentially. And Iowa State, I mean, what did they get to, ninth in the standings?
Ended up getting to ninth.
Yeah, and then we all know what happened from there. We don't need to dwell on it. But, gosh darn, I mean, that could have been a banner year for the entire state of Iowa had the clones not imploded.
Point being, it should be a phenomenal atmosphere. Games at Jack Trice this year are going to be nutty. It's just going to be a nutty atmosphere with all the night games. It's also, the Iowa game is on my birthday.
This year?
And it was my 18th birthday in 2002 when that game was played, and I got to go over to Iowa City. I had my first victory cigar, legally.
Wow. Did you get peed on or anything?
No.
I heard a lot of stuff happened
no.
in that game. No, nobody urinated on you?
No, I mean, I wasn't a confrontational 18-year-old. I look like like Corey McIntosh out there.
Well, who were you with? Were you with Oz and your dad?
Yeah, I was just with the family.
You put all the blooms together, and words are spoken.
Just get out of the way. Well, what happened was at halftime, you're all just cowered in fear.
Yeah, you're in the fetal position.
It's 24-7, and then the second half stunned everybody, and so I think the Iowa fans were so in shock because that third quarter, it was 24-7. By the end of it, Iowa State was ahead. Just a unbelievable third quarter, and Seneca Wallace, Jamal Montgomery, all those guys made huge plays, and of course the play was the Seneca rollout left, threw it across his body to Jack Whitford for a big first down in that game,
it will always be known to me as the Jack Whitford game.
That's the Jack Whitford play at the very least, and Jack...
No, that's the Jack Whitford game.
Seneca had nothing to do with it, but no, the game in Ames will be big for a lot of reasons. Iowa State has to win that game, I think, if they want to get to a bowl game. So
I agree.
A lot of things on the line to be a night game on essentially national television. People don't realize Fox Sports 1 is going to try and rival ESPN. It's their big new initiative. And this isn't FX. This isn't Fox Sports Net. Yeah. This is national Fox.
I don't like it.
Why?
Because they're taking away the Speed Channel. That's the new Speed Channel.
But they're going to heavily promote Fox Sports 1, unlike the Speed Channel.
No, you're right. They're basically, they're going to have like a sports center and whatnot,
yes,
too?
Yes, all of that.
Oh, okay, so I was talking with the guy who owns this company today, Jason Luch, and we were talking about the new schedule, right? Who is going to be broadcasting those Fox Sports 1 games? Like, who will it be? Gus Johnson? I mean, who will be like their A, B? Do you know yet, or is that still to be determined?
I don't. Gus Johnson will be their main guy, I
would guess. Okay, because he's been in Ames with the FX games,
yes,
before.
So think FX, but it's on a grander scale.
So, I mean, there's a good chance that Gus Johnson will be calling that game.
It's a very good
chance. We don't know that, but that's depending on how they redo everything. But I would think 5 o'clock would be one of their premier games that week, right?
It would have to be.
Yeah.
No, there's a good chance Gus will be in town. They will announce that, obviously, later on. Yeah. But it's got the makings, even though both teams are not going to be predicted to be conference contenders. They should both be undefeated.
I hope Iowa can beat Northern Illinois.
I do, too.
I don't know if they can, but I hope they do.
They came out with a line, and they're favored by 6.5.
Yeah, I know, but we all know how that works, though. I mean, you're basically more trying to get action on it than anything. Northern Illinois has a new coach, but they still have one of the top quarterbacks in America coming back next year.
Mr. Lynch.
Yeah, which I hope Iowa is 2-0 going into that game, but there's no guarantee. Heck, there's no guarantee Iowa State will be 1-0.
Right.
Northern Iowa, I mean, Iowa State should win that game,
95% chance.
Correct. But they're going to be good next year for their standards. I mean, they're probably a playoff team next year.
Well, their quarterback is back, correct? I can't think of the young man's name. He was a freshman last year.
Yeah, I did a deal with Gary Rima. Go check it out on our football section.
They were tied or down a touchdown to Wisconsin in the fourth quarter and had a drive to tie the game and came up empty. But they were right there with Wisconsin. Heck, 2 years ago, Iowa State needed a miracle Steel Jans play
to win. They didn't deserve to win that game.
I would agree with that.
When they gave up that kickoff return, I almost vomited in the press box because I was just imagining Cyclone reaction that night.
So that's not a layup, but a Big 12 team should always beat a Missouri Valley team.
I would agree. So let's go to, well, we're talking broadcasters. ESPN comes to town on a Thursday night. Iowa State's the show, man.
That's
for Thursday
the big
night
one.
Football. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Texas comes to town on October the 3rd. That, to me, is one of my favorite things in all of college. I love Thursday night football. I don't care if it's Big East. You know, the Pac-12 got in on the action a little bit last year. I love sitting around, going to a bar, watching that Thursday night game. We do it a lot now after our radio show. We'll just hang out at wherever we're broadcasting from, which will be in Benchwarmers this upcoming fall, so we look forward to that. But that's a big deal when ESPN's coming and you're the featured game there. I mean, the same Reese Davis will be the same crew as far as you know.
I assume so.
Sam Steele,
Jesse Palmer.
No, yeah. Craig James.
Calm down, all you Sam Steele fans.
Yeah, dudes, Sam Steele's coming back. It's Sam Potter now.
Ponder. She's married.
Well, so did it surprise you that she took his name as quickly as she did?
No.
Because she's kind of an old school girl.
She's very old school.
But, I mean, she kind of had her brand going, you know?
But I think her brand's bigger.
You think her brand is bigger because she's with a very average quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings?
There's 30 of them in America. He is very average, but he's still a quarterback.
I'm a Vikings fan. You know, I hope he does well. I really like Sam, too. She's actually, before she was big time, did multiple interviews with us here at Cyclone Fanatic and was always just awesome to work with. Really one of the more genuine people you'll ever meet in this business.
Because she was on those FCS games.
Yeah.
With Steve Fiziak, I believe, and the other cat. But they would do like Iowa State, Texas Tech, Iowa State, Utah, all the games that nobody else wanted to air.
This is crap.
They would
games.
Throw them on there, and she was just a youngster.
Yeah.
She was 23 or so when she was doing that. But now it's kind of fun to see her rise.
She was clearly better than the other people on their broadcast.
No doubt. And she was excellent. She was part of the Iowa State-Oklahoma State game.
I remember when I did some sort of an interview with her. I don't even remember why. I think I probably just wanted to talk to her. But at the time, she had like 2,000 Twitter followers when we started doing that stuff. And now, I mean, she's obviously a mega star.
She's no Ben Bruns.
She's no Ben Bruns. I've always said this. If Ben just wanted to be an analyst, he is, I in my opinion, good enough to be a big-time television analyst if he wanted to, if he knew the right people.
He is extremely insightful. Yeah, I agree. But he's also really good at his day job.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, but I don't want him to leave Iowa State, obviously, but I think that's how much respect I have for him.
The Cyclone Network is very lucky to have him.
I would agree. Okay, so we've covered that. Again, if you didn't know, Tulsa, that's a Thursday night game, a 6:30 kick. Fox Sports 1. Fox Sports 1 are going to be loving Iowa State football this year. Northern Iowa, 7 o'clock kick, Cyclones TV / Mediacom, where the Cyclone Radio Network, I believe, will have the feed for that one. So
correct.
It's not going to be, they're not going to be bringing in BJ Shaven or anything.
No,
it's going to be Walters and Hefton.
But the cool part there is they're doing a pregame show live on Mediacom as well, along with Cyclones TV. So it's essentially, I don't know this for sure, so I'm talking out of place here.
That's all right. But we do it all the time.
But I believe they are going to simulcast the pregame show that's on the Cyclone Network on front of the stage from the Jacobson Building, and they're going to put it on TV, multiple cameras.
You know the deal that I did at Yankee Stadium?
Yes.
I never understood why Iowa State doesn't utilize that scoreboard more and do something like that before home games.
We might be onto something there.
I
think they are going to put that on there, too. Or at least if I was Jamie Pollard, I would think about that, because that would not be hard to do.
To me, you're just, what you're doing is, one, you're giving people more of a reason to come in the stadium early, so there's not that rush, and there's not as many people getting in after kickoff, and two, you're utilizing a state-of-the-art scoreboard that 99% of other schools would give anything to have.
Right, and then the people even in the student lot can see it.
Correct.
And get hyped up, plus you want people in the stadium early, right?
That's my point.
So you get people there. The only problem would be is finding the manpower to produce a show like that.
Yeah, because right now you've got Tyler and Danny and Walters just rolling their eyes listening to us.
People don't appreciate the work that those Cyclones.tv, because it's not a big staff, but they grind.
Their staff is just a little bit bigger than what we have here at Cyclone Fanatic, and this is the Iowa State Athletic Department we're talking about here.
Right, so for them already, they're probably nervous, so we're just adding the pressure, but they can handle it.
Well, I'm not throwing this out to Walters. Mr. Pollard, if you're listening, I think it's a good idea.
Well, you've got a captive audience.
You sell it. Dude, how much could you sell that thing for? Make some revenue off of it.
If they haven't thought of it, and we're just bringing this up, we want 10%.
Dude, if I got 10% of whatever they sold that for, I might just take a year off.
You probably could.
All right. Let's go. One other football topic. The Pinstripe Bowl. No more. Good fit, I think, with the Big Ten. The Big Ten is obsessed with New York. They're so obsessed, they would invite Rutgers to join their league. That's how obsessed with New York they are. Maryland's in the league. Penn State over there.
That's really worked for them, that whole Rutgers thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Isn't she a peach?
Yeah.
Are you with everybody else who's saying good riddance from a Big 12 perspective to New York, having been there 2 years ago?
I had fun. I take that back. I had a blast in New York because I'd never been.
Correct, and I would agree with you on that sentiment.
The problem is where I have an unfair advantage. I'm not trying to sound like I'm being arrogant here, but everything for me was paid for.
Correct.
And so I didn't have to worry about getting a hotel room. I didn't have to worry about travel. I didn't have to worry about all of the factors that add up really quickly. Not to mention you get to New York and beer is $10.
And although I will object to that. On New Year's Eve,
you found like a diamond in the rough. I don't know how you found that.
I drank for cheaper in New York City on New Year's Eve than I could have in Des Moines.
Did they know who you were?
No. No, this is a story. Mike Fontana, Custom Granite of Central Iowa, did my granite.
Good plug.
Yeah. So me and him and his fiance and my wife were walking around New York. We just had a nice dinner. We're down by the World Trade Center at that area because that's the hotel that we stayed in. And we stumble upon this bar. It's right next to Ground Zero. Brent, you look out the bar's window, and it's the 9/11 Memorial, okay? And we see a ton of Cyclone fans in there. Mm-hmm. So we're like, hey, let's hit it up. We walk in there. And these folks knew who we were because I think that they were in the same hotel. We had been around
there. Travel
them.
Party, maybe.
Yeah, and we're like, go Clones. And they're pretty sauced up by this point in time. So we go in there and we have a drink. $2.50
a
beer. $4 Wells. My wife is like a Malibu nut. She drinks Malibu like it's water, okay? And $4. $4 for a Malibu.
If I would have known that, maybe I'd feel differently.
No, for real, though. And then we got locked in there. The Occupy Wall Street folks got a little rowdy.
Yeah, that was about that time.
Yeah, they got a little bit worked up one night, and they were threatening to riot. So all of a sudden, these cops, like this SWAT team comes by, and they literally put chains on the doors, and we're stuck, man. We can't get out of there. I mean, we're locked down into this bar, and it got nutty. It got nutty.
I bet. From a fan standpoint, though, it's cold. It's not some place that you think, all right, I'm going to go get a tan in New York City. It was fun to do once. My story, though, which why I'm kind of anti-New York, I was going to set up the radio equipment the day before and got on the subway.
Did you get mugged?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'll get there. No, it was close. And so the Bronx is a couple trains away. I'm not a subway veteran. I'm not a mass transit expert. So I got there fine. I'm coming back. I get on the wrong train coming back, and I realize this. So I get off and trying to catch another train. But I get off in the wrong spot. I get off right in the smack middle of Harlem.
Uh-oh.
At this station. And it's literally me and some gentlemen that I didn't... Yeah, that was not making me feel like...
They were not welcoming?
Well, no, nothing happened, but I was like, okay, you can come anytime now, Subway. So I was by myself, but I made it, and all was well. I did not see, though, I kept waiting. We stayed in a nice Manhattan hotel room, and I was waiting to see Jennifer Lopez, Made in Manhattan, but it never
didn't,
worked out.
Didn't ever work out that way? Happened.
But I had fun. The open-air press box, I know some of the media didn't like, but it wasn't that cold.
It wasn't cold
at
all.
It was like 50 degrees.
I actually remember my wife bought me, like, some fancy gloves so I could use, like, that opened up your fingertip, you know, so I could type. And I remember, like, a hat, and I didn't even need them because it was so nice. Granted, it's not always that case.
Right.
Late December.
Well, West
in New
Virginia
York.
And Syracuse played last year, and it was just a snowstorm.
Well, and then I believe the year before Iowa State went, the Kansas State game, it was a snowstorm.
So Iowa State actually got lucky. But you put it well in your article today. It was fun for one time, but in the future, it didn't make sense for people to make repeat visits to New York City.
It's like dating that crazy girl in college.
One time.
She's fun.
It was good
for
a couple days.
She's a good time, but you don't want to marry her.
When you're locked inside with her with Occupy Wall Street people outside.
That is correct. I tell you what, though. That was a great time. Lifelong friends I made in that little... It was cool, too, because like Arnaud was there, like Jake Williams, I think. I don't know if Jake was... Yeah, I think there was a lot of like former players who were locked in with us.
Lamach showed up at one.
I believe Lamach was there.
The funny part is, so New York's, what, 20 million people, and they have hundreds and thousands of bars and restaurants. Our crew, which was the media crew, so it was me, Walters, Dave Z, and a couple others, mm-hmm. We went to the same bar restaurant three nights in a row.
The 101 upstairs?
Yeah, the one upstairs.
What was that place called?
I don't know. It was some Irish place.
No, because Hassel
was there too.
Yeah,
that's right.
Dave and Hassel recently went there, I believe, when they were covering. Hassel was already up at ESPN, but Dave was covering Iowa and the NIT, and they sent out like a mass text to all of us who had gone to that bar, and we had a great time there. What was that place called?
But of all the places, we went to the same place three times. Well, it was good.
Yeah, I mean, if you find a spot, it's kind of like me in the cake stand.
Keep going.
I just folks want to go out in Des Moines. I'm not too into the downtown scene. I'd rather just hang out at Ryan's place.
But in the end, I think Memphis is a better alternative than NYC.
Memphis, I think, was better than the experience that Iowa State got because the weather was so bad.
Yes.
I mean, it was rainy. It was
unreasonably
cold.
So, yeah.
It was. I remember the last night, you know, on New Year's Eve, you and me and your girlfriend and my wife, and we didn't even want to go downtown because it was so cold.
And it was raining
Which
nonstop.
That's not Memphis-like. I mean, the weather, it's never going to be 90.
That cold.
But that was, I think that was probably Mother Nature's payback from the year before in New York.
Now, question, exit San Diego, insert Orlando. Thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's great for Iowa State. Just in the same, I don't think it's going to make that big. That was probably too strong of a reaction. But Iowa State, I mean, North Florida is a huge recruiting area.
True.
So, and I think that most of the Big 12 is really doing that. I think the Big 12, probably other than some of those Texas schools, is much more involved in Florida recruiting than they are California. I mean, Iowa State, Bob Elliott used to recruit those JUCOs in California very well. But I think for Iowa State specifically, you're much better served being in Florida than you are in California.
And San Diego's probably nicer aesthetically. Weather-wise, is more consistent. But Orlando's usually, around that time, it's usually pretty nice. I used to live there for a couple years. It's not overly warm. Sometimes it gets a little chilly in December. And there's obviously a lot to do with the Disney. The stadium itself, they're redoing it, but it's a dump.
Yeah. I mean, I think, which that kind of sucks because I've always wanted Iowa State to go to a Holiday Bowl.
Yeah.
That's always been a bowl game, and I know Iowa State fans would go crazy if they went to San Diego.
And they could have gone. They were close going this year.
But they would have won that.
They beat West Virginia.
If you win that game, you're in. I mean, that guy was even at the game, the director.
That's right.
Remember that?
Bad memories. It's all right.
Story of our lives, yeah. Brent.
That's
the worst season, in my opinion, in Iowa State history.
If they make
worst season ever. I know there were some horrible ones.
Make the field goal against Kansas, they go to the Holiday Bowl.
Well, you think of all the other crap that happened.
I know.
Jason Scales fumbles against Baylor.
No, that was Greg Coleman.
Nick Leaders.
That was Greg Coleman.
That was Greg Coleman.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yep.
Your boy. We had the Nick Leaders just pick up the ball against Nebraska, or the pick.
The pick, yeah.
The potential
and then
pick.
DeAndre Jackson
picking up the ball. And just run, DeAndre. You're the fastest guy on the field. Run and you win.
Missouri had multiple chances to win that game.
Just the Kansas game too. I mean, they had, and then we got into the classic McCarney playing not to lose instead of trying to win.
Officials didn't help in a couple of those games either.
No, they did not.
They had a way though to turn an 11-win season into 7. That's what they did. But they did win the Colorado game, which is the new Cyclones.tv replay.
Really? Thank you for that.
That was the Brent Curvey game where he scored 2 touchdowns.
All right, you want to talk hoops?
Yes, hoops time.
Channel C podcast, channel.com. Check them out. Find a channel seedsman near you. The Capital City League, the YMCA Capital City League, Brent. The draft coming up on Thursday night. We're going to have a lot more coverage of that league this year. Talked to Matty Van Winkle today. He's going to be doing a lot of video coverage of it. I'm going to be there with some interviews. You're going to be doing some scouting reports. We're looking forward to it. Draft coming up on Thursday. You've got the top pick in the draft, Brent. Who do you go with? It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
It's George Niang.
Yeah, it has to be. This is going to be one of the top players in the Big 12 Conference next year. I think we're assuming, too, Melvin Edgem not going to be... I mean, he may be there towards the end, but he's doing this Canadian thing. I'm assuming he's probably not going to be very integral in the league this year.
I would agree with that.
So you go George Niang. Now I'll change it up a little bit. Take Niang out of the equation.
Ooh.
Niang is not in the league this year. You have the top pick. Go.
I'm not taking a Drake guy.
You would be a total idiot to take a Drake guy.
Oh, that's tough. Do I want to win or do I want to have fun?
Well, that's a loaded question.
Because if I want to be entertained, I probably take Matt Thomas.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick.
If I want to win, Boo Boo Powell has been pretty good in that league, you know?
There were 3 guys that came to my head.
You can't take him number 2, though.
I don't think you can take Boo Boo Powell with the top pick, but I think if there's 6 teams in the league, if he's there at 5, you go with him. Because the thing about that league, you want to get guys who try.
He tries.
Yeah, that's the key. You like Royce White, I mean, sure, you wanted him on your team, but he didn't really try that hard in that league. Effort goes a long way, and you know Boo Boo is going to be diving for loose balls and whatnot.
Or do you take Monty Morris?
I had 3 guys. I had Morris, Thomas, and Paolo would be my 3.
This is an intense. This is like the NBA draft. What direction?
Well,
do you go?
How do you want to shape your team?
You got to go a guard though. After Niang,
it's such a perimeter league based. You don't big guys do not dominate.
If
that
DeAndre Kane's available, I might take him number 2.
Hell, I might take DeAndre Kane number 1. We're assuming that Niang's not there.
Correct. In that circumstance, yes.
You know what? I'll probably go with him.
Take Kane.
I'll probably go with him.
He averaged 7 assists last year. He's going to pass the ball in that league. He wants to make a good impression, and I think he's a winner.
You know who else is a guy who will fly under the radar? And if you're a general manager for a Capital City League team, a YMCA Capital City League team, here's a little tip for you. All right? Two guys who I think will fly under the radar but could just blow up in that league. The first is KJ Bluford.
He's going to shoot.
He's made for that league.
Yes, he will.
KJ Bluford was born to play in the YMCA Capital City League.
He could be a sleeper because nobody talks about him.
Well, I can see him going like the 3rd round, 4th
mm-hmm.
round.
That's a great pick.
And Abdel Nader.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's Will Clyburn, basically.
He will score, and he will score a lot.
And then you're kind of getting a tweener. But he can bring the ball up the floor.
Sean Dorsey Walker has something to prove this summer. He has a lot to prove.
He has a lot to prove.
He's going to be gunning.
He's got something to prove to me.
And I see a lot of people.
I see all these people going, oh, he should be starting over Matt Tom. I don't think so.
That's why he has a lot to prove.
I think he's got a lot to prove. But I think he's a good player for the league, though. I mean, because he shoots. If you shoot in that league, and you got to be, that's the thing. You have to, one, you have to try, two, you have to be aggressive because there aren't a lot of shots to go around in that league based off of what everybody's doing. I think Monty Morris would be a sleeper, though. I think he's a legitimate top two or three pick in the league.
Who in God's green earth is on Drake this year? I can't name a Drake Bulldog right now. That just goes to show what left their program. I mean, they lost pretty much. That Joey King guy just went to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's on that team. So I can't imagine any of those guys are going to fight for a top five pick.
Yeah.
So that'll be a fascinating league this year because there are number of Iowa State players who have a lot to prove. And that doesn't translate exactly from the summer league to fall, but at least you make a name for yourself.
Well,
Will Clyburn jumped on the stage in that thing and it carried
over. Wes Johnson, Mike Taylor.
So, like a guy like, I think it's huge for a guy like Sherron Dorsey Walker because everybody, I think you and I included, are just anointing Matt Thomas as a starter, which with his accolades coming in makes sense. He's been called the best shooter in the class. They rave about him every time anybody talks about Matt Thomas. But here you have a guy in Sherron Dorsey Walker who's just stewing. You know he hears everything.
Oh yeah,
he had to sit out all year. He was a top 125 kid too. Good shooter, good athlete. He's a year older than Thomas. Maybe he takes it as something to show everybody, hey, don't forget about me.
Maybe. I hope that's the case.
They have so many guys who will be able to put the ball in the basket. But I don't know how the minutes will break down because that's a good problem to have.
I think Kane will play 35 minutes a game.
Ooh, that's steep. Nope, no chance.
I think he will.
Nope. I disagree with you there.
I think he's the guy who you keep in the game. Even when you bring Boo Boo in, you just let Boo Boo play the one. You slide Kane over to the two.
Yeah, I see that.
He's a guy who, remember Jake Anderson, he played that much.
Well, but that's that team.
The team had nobody, I understand.
Their backup was... Who? I don't even remember. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Who came in when Jake or Deontay? Deontay never
Christofferson,
said.
But
Christofferson,
he was already in the game.
I guess
game
he's
most
already
the time.
In there, yeah. So.
They only played like seven guys that year.
They did.
Silky?
Yeah. But Bluford will get some. See, that's the thing. Bluford's got to get some time. He's got to get some run. Dorsey Walker has to get some run. Thomas is going to play. Morris is going to play.
Somebody's got to be left out.
Boo Boo's going to play. Who's going to be left out? There are not enough minutes in the guard court for six guys.
Somebody's going
to. And I'm not even talking about Naz Long yet. Everybody forgets about Naz Long, too.
Yeah. I think Naz's career at Iowa State, this is my prediction, good career. I think he's like your sixth, seventh man, though, for 4 years. I'm just saying because I think Monty Morris is going to be the point guard.
And Thomas will be the two.
And I'm just looking at Naz. He's going to be a sophomore.
He could play as the third guard in a three-guard lineup.
Great guy to have on your team. You need guys like that. Reliable backup point guard. Good leader. Great kid. Teammates love him. But, I mean, Monty Morris is your point guard, man. He's your point guard going forward after this year. I mean, unless he's a major bust.
Well, and I believe they will play Naz more at the two.
That's his natural position regardless. He's not much of a shooter, though.
He can be. His stroke was pretty good. He just didn't make many.
that's like the guy who wins the long drive contest, but he can't make a putt to save his life. I mean, no, I like Naz. I think Naz has something to offer going forward.
It'll be a fascinating lineup next year. I don't know how it's going to break down because there's only so many minutes.
I think DeAndre Kane is going to play more than you think he will. We'll
35
see.
Steep, though.
I'm telling you. All right, 30 to 35.
Yes, I agree. I think 30's comfortable.
I think closer to 35.
I was a loser, which I know this surprises everybody.
What a way
and
to...
Went,
what
and
a
went
line.
And watched a Marshall-West Virginia game on ESPN3 this week.
What'd you think?
Just to get a better read on Mr. Kane. I like him.
Why?
I really like him. 6'4", big guard. Sometimes you see 6'4" and you think...
Deontay Garrett,
skinny. Not this young
fella.
He is thick. He's put together, really good athlete. He'll be able to guard 1 through 3. And that's a huge advantage to have because he will be the point guard. That's what he will be labeled as. But on defense, he's a valuable weapon. He'll be able to guard. Like Corey Lucius was great as a point guard,
yeah.
But he could guard one spot. Mm-hmm. Kane can guard 1, 2, or 3. Big guy, good athlete, can get to the rim, great, great passer. Really good passer. He made a couple passes in that game that were eye-openers.
He appears to enjoy distributing the ball,
and
too.
And he does, and that's what really stood out is, yes, his shooting percentage was low, but that Marshall team was so bad that there's really not a whole lot he could do. In fact, his shooting percentages, though, were better than Corey Lucius's were at Michigan State. Just keep that in mind, and Lucius turned out pretty good. People are really going to like DeAndre Kane because he makes this team complete. I think you said that earlier today on KXNO. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make the team, but he makes it complete. And he is a piece they need. Fans will really like him. Big guard. And you don't realize how big he is until you see him play.
He reminds me of Jake Anderson.
Yeah, but he's bigger than Jake.
Well, yeah, Jake was 6'2".
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, the whole, obviously the scenario, but two, just kind of seems to me like a rock type player who I don't think will get rattled much. I think he does everything well, a little Curtis Stinson, what we always say about Curtis Stinson, does a lot of things well, but nothing great, that type of guy.
Yeah, that's very similar, and he'll get into people, too. I like this part of him, though. He turns 24 in a week. Kevin Durant is 24.
Wow.
I mean, that's how old he is. Like, he's an older guy. And to have that guy who's been in through some ringers, you know, it's just Conference USA, but still experience for an inexperienced backcourt. And he'll fire people up. He can tell George Niang, hey, I'm older than you. But you have those two as your vocal leaders, plus Edgem. Leadership won't be a problem now. And I know they lost a lot of seniors off that team. But he adds that leadership component well that all teams are looking for.
I'm pretty sure Niang was a leader even as a true freshman.
He was, but now he has some help.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is nice for a young guy like George.
Let's go to Twitter. I am at Chris M. Williams. You are at Brent Bloom. Had some folks asking us some questions for the podcast. Zach wanted to know about DeAndre Kane's game. We've already talked about that. So
not a great shooter yet, but can make a shot.
Yeah, Zach points that out.
But, again, he was playing with a bunch of slappies.
And I would say this. Look at what Deontay Garrett did under Greg McDermott, and look what he did under Fred Hoiberg. I think it's very comparable.
Yes, look at what Corey Lucius, how much better Corey Lucius shot the ball.
Yeah,
this year as opposed to at Michigan State. Look at Jake Anderson's improvement in shooting percentage from Northern Illinois to Iowa State. It's been done before, and he does not have to shoot. He had to shoot 20 times a game at Marshall, and there's just not many good shots. He won't have to shoot. If he's shooting more than 10 shots, something went wrong.
Lee wants to know, is there anything Fred Hoiberg would suck at? What would it be? Seriously, he has to be bad at something.
I pointed this out because did you see Mike Green's tweet today about Fred Hoiberg?
No.
Fred Hoiberg got a double eagle today on the golf course, which is a 2 on a par 5. It was a 575-yard par 5. He got a 2, dunked one in from 275 with a 3-wood. He's a scratch golfer. He's a 10-year NBA vet. He's a great coach, maybe one of the best young coaches in college basketball. And he may be the nicest human being on the planet.
No, I think he is.
He is in my club of least hateable people in the world. Justin Timberlake's on that list. Seth Meyers, Tina Fey on that list. You can't find faults in any of them.
George Strait?
You can throw him in there if you want to.
We drug you to that concert and you liked
it. Oh, he was big time. No, he's a performer. I like performers. But what would Fred Hoiberg be bad at?
I know what he'd be bad at.
Academic, all-conference.
He would be bad at any sort of an authority role. Where he would have to be mean to somebody. Like a counselor to like bad kids or troubled kids, troubled youth.
But he'll turn them around.
Prison guard. He would suck as a prison guard.
Because he'd want to let everybody out.
Well, and could you imagine, you know, the guy, inmates are over there getting a little bit rowdy. Could you imagine Hoiberg coming in and just, you know, really getting in their faces? And he's just not a confrontation.
No, but that's the thing is Fred would develop a
professional
rapport.
Professional wrestler.
Professional wrestler.
He's not a, you know, because those guys, it's like, hey, look at me.
He's not a showman.
No, he's not. And to be in professional wrestling, you got to be a real showman.
You might have found it.
Professional wrestler. That's it. Going once?
Yeah, I can't.
Going twice? All right, that's what Fred Hoiberg would suck at.
Meteorologist?
What now? Why would you say meteorologist?
Everybody hates meteorologists.
Yeah.
You can't hate Fred
Hoiberg. Brett McIntyre.
Yeah.
Everybody hates Brett.
But think about that. The guy got a double eagle today.
Yeah. And actually, I just see coming across the wire on Twitter right now that's on Twitter from the Des Moines Register. Big breaking news for you. Ed Hightower calling it quits.
I knew that.
What?
Yeah. Well,
why wouldn't you?
No, because I did.
He's retired.
He announced. This is very Ed Hightower thing to do. If people don't know who Ed Hightower is, he is a longstanding official in the Big Ten, Big 12, pretty much any conference that has existed
in the
last
30
years.
If you watch a game, he's probably Ed Hightower refing.
Yeah, he was my Twitter avatar for a number of years. I had to retire him because 2 years ago, he announced he was retiring in 2 years.
Oh,
he
God.
Went on a 2-year Ed Hightower run.
Because he wanted the people to, he wanted the royal treatment from everybody.
Exactly. So this
he wanted like the Chipper Jones treatment everywhere he went.
Yeah, but this is not a surprise. Still tough to take. Monitor reviews will not be the same.
We have actually really good segue. Mike wants to know: do refs really suck? Do they suck more or less as they advance to different levels of reffing? I think he's being facetious because I know Mike, and Mike is a fierce defender of referees, much like you.
I can't legally answer that question because that's just wrong. You know what? Iowa State got hosed about 4 times this year.
Yep,
horribly. But yeah, I'm not going to go there. They got hosed, and it's the officials had a bad year. Hopefully, it turns the other way next season. But officiating is hard. Officiating is hard.
Daniel wants to know. Expectations of Sherron Dorsey-Walker and Matt Thomas. I think we've covered that for the most part.
Interesting to watch. I don't know who emerges there. I would put my guess would be Thomas.
I'm confident.
You
I'll
are
say that.
That you are that confident.
I am confident it's Matt Thomas.
I just SDW. I think people are overlooking him.
He redshirted for a reason, though. There's got to be a deficiency somewhere. And
I disagree with you that he redshirted because they are optimistic that he would be productive later on. You don't want to waste a year.
Later
like,
on, meaning when he's an upperclassman. You don't redshirt many guys in college basketball unless there's a reason.
Well, they didn't.
I'm not down on him. Don't get me wrong.
Redshirt Kerwin Okoro. It was kind of a, hey, Kerwin, get your eligibility out of the way so we can let you go.
I agree. That's a very solid point. It's probably why they played Tavon Sledge and didn't redshirt him the year before, obviously. And they see signs that Sherron Dorsey-Walker could eventually be a very good player. But I think Matt Thomas already is a really good player. And I haven't even seen him, but there's a reason why every scout in the country is saying he's the best shooter in the class of 2013. All right?
Yeah.
I'm just, and this is no disrespect towards SDW. I think I watched him in the Cap City League last year. Dude,
good like, shooter.
Great shooter. And you know those shooters, they always play for Fred
Weber.
He will
play. I don't know how much he will play, but the minute breakdown there, it's hard for coaches because when Iowa State was at their best the last 2 years is when they got into a 8-person rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Percy Gibson ended up falling out of the rotation. It works better when you have 8 guys playing 10 to 35 minutes rather than like 11 guys playing 20.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to figure that out. One of those guys is going to play the majority of the minutes. I'm just not sure who it's going to be yet. And I'll even throw Bluford in there.
It's Matt Thomas.
Bluford could get...
I think Bluford is over Walker, too.
That's interesting. Okay.
We'll see. And maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I haven't seen them play enough to form I will know more, I think, here in 2 weeks when
they
start playing the Cap City League.
Dorsey Walker, I know he's put on weight. I know he did what they asked him to do in the weight room, so we'll see. Hopefully he proves me wrong, because having that much talent and that many numbers in the backcourt is always a good thing. Adam Gray wants to know, percentage of carries each running back gets this year in football. That's an impossible question to answer. We don't know about Shontrell Johnson's health. It's hard because we don't know, one, with this tweak to the offense. Two, we don't know. My thing is, I think Devondrick Neely, we've talked about this before. I'm higher on Devondrick Neely than I am any of the other running backs on the roster. Having said that, I think Aaron Wimberly is too good to keep off the field.
Got to play him.
You've got to find a way for Aaron Wimberly to be getting touches, especially when you look at how bad the offense has been the last 4 years. So you got James White, who's led the team in rushing
solid
the last 2 years. Again, we don't know about Johnson. And Jeff Woody's going to get carries doing what Jeff Woody does.
What we also don't know is, will they play some multiple back stuff?
Which it sounds like they will. Woody really led me to believe, not me, but all the media, and Neely's told me that too after the spring game, that they're going to be doing more of that. It's hard. That's an impossible question. It's a great question, but it's really hard to... Okay, who do you think gets the most carries? I'll put it that way.
The safe bet is James White.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a safe bet. What do you think, though? I'll say Neely. I'm going Devondrick Neely. Because I think that I think Wimberly is used a lot in the passing game, too.
Yeah, they'll move him a lot more.
Yeah.
Neely's still younger than White, though, by 2 years.
He's better. He's clearly better. All right, okay, better probably isn't the word. Higher ceiling, put it that way.
Higher ceiling, James White's more trustworthy.
Yeah, you know he's going to hold on to the football.
He's going to block. He's going to hold on to the ball.
This is not the classic James White career conversation, though.
He's going to be a senior.
He's always doubting. Yeah. People are always doubting him.
I'm going White. He's my guy.
All right, I'm going to go with Devondrick Neely, leads the team in carries.
I'll go James White.
And then you got White and Wimberly right there, which is sad because I love Chantrell Johnson. I'm a huge fan of his, and I hope he can come back and be 100%. And if he does, if Chantrell's 100%, he's in the equation.
James White has scored 2 of the top 10 most memorable touchdowns in Iowa State history. The one against Iowa,
mm-hmm.
in triple overtime.
Oklahoma State.
And the screen pass against Oklahoma State.
Scott wants to know, losing the Pinstripe Bowl but gaining question mark, that's going to be the Liberty Bowl. And then there's other moves. None of that's really for sure yet, but the Liberty Bowl, they're looking at Florida from...
I think it'll be Orlando.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And I think that bowl has some potential, too. I always like watching that game for some reason.
It's just in a crappy area in Orlando, but...
Media revenue update and what it means, South End Zone or other facilities. I think it's other facilities. I've never gotten the impression that it's going to be very soon when they get that South End Zone done. I have actually heard, too, and this is like... I mean, so don't take this to the grave, people. I'm interviewing Jamie Pollard next week, and I'm going to ask him about it.
You should ask him.
But I've heard, too, that scoreboard, not the scoreboard, that the press box is high on the list of things to accomplish.
And that would make perfect sense to me. Look at the new stadiums in any sport, besides losers at Texas A&M. Okay, we're throwing them out of the mix because they're all crazy. But they're more smaller scale. And the idea is increase demand by having smaller seats. Baylor's new stadium, 45,000 people.
Yep.
You look at a lot of the arenas; they're not big 20,000 seat arenas anymore. They're 10 to 15. And if you take that money, yes, it would be awesome if you could get 5,000 more butts in the seats. But those tickets are. I'm just financially. I know I want more fans, just like anybody. But financially, those are what? $150 season tickets, $200 season tickets. If you redo the press box, you add, say, 50 suites at $25,000 a suite. That more than makes up for the math for 5,000 additional seats. And plus, you make that press box was built in 1997, 1998. It is way outdated. It's an eyesore. On otherwise a pretty sweet looking stadium on game day.
And I want to make it, Brett Myers the one he talked about it on our radio show last year about that press box. So I wanted to give proper credit to where I knew I heard it from somewhere and it was on the record, but I didn't know the specifics.
And
didn't
Brett mention that as a recruit, like that's they see the press box and they're
it's the first thing you see.
Yeah.
When
it's like, what is that?
Yeah. So but you're going to get some backlash, though, from that commentary you just made because the theory is that you're not really even adding seats if you bowl in that end zone because you can just shove those people on the hillside anyways. I've seen that out there, too.
Well, you're not going to add if they do if they do the South's end zone. Newsflash: they're not going to add more than 5,000 seats.
No, you're not really adding.
You're not much adding seats. You're just adding concrete.
Yeah, you're making it look more quote big time.
So at never at any point in the next 15 years will that place seat 70,000 people.
No, no, it will not. So I would bet that the scoreboard gets done. I keep saying scoreboard. I don't know why. The press box gets done first. Oh, not first, but I think there's other stuff that Pollard will want to do.
I like the atmosphere right now.
And when I've heard Rhodes talk about this, because he's been asked about it, when I've heard Pollard talk, I've never once gotten the impression, unless a big donor steps up and says, I want you to do this and pays for it, I've never gotten the impression that this is just right around the corner.
And they have other things that they are in debt for, that they have to pay for first with the new money. I mean, the things like the football facility, a lot of the improvements to Jack Trice Stadium, the new facilities across campus, a lot of that was borrowed money, so they have to pay it back first. So just because they get a $22 million check from the Big 12 this year, that will go up to like 30 in the next couple years.
Correct.
That money is probably not ticketed just for one thing. I know that's an easy connection to make. Oh, we've got all this new money. Let's put it all into one thing. They've got other areas they need to spread it.
Salaries are higher.
Yeah, they're paying Rhodes and assistant coaches. Hoiberg's making double the money. The money is going to be used. Don't feel like Iowa State's just stashing away all this money in some preserve just for the South End Zone, because they're using it in the smart areas. And I trust nobody more than Jamie Pollard to figure out best that money should go.
He's an old CPA. That's what he does. Yeah. All right, Bloom. I think that's good, man. I mean, I think we put forth a solid effort in today's podcast. How do you feel about it? What grade do you give yourself?
It's a B-.
Wow. I give you a B+.
You're an optimistic grader. You've always been more of an optimistic person.
Oh, I take that as a compliment.
That is a compliment.
All right. Thanks for your questions, everybody. That was fun.
That was good.
We'll have to start doing that more often. It's been the Channel Seed Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. For Brent Bloom, I'm Chris Williams. So long, everybody.